and 7. Neil Madison is alongside me. It is the day almost upon us that Middlesbrough fans have been waiting for since early May. It's the beginning of the Premier League season and they're starting it at the Riverside Stadium. All the details to come.
The only station with full match commentary of every Premier League Borough game, BBC Tees. One day to go. Come on, Borough!
On 95FM, digital, online and Freeview Channel 722. It's BBC Tees. Good evening. It's 6 o'clock. Here's the news with Graham Pickering.
Work's due to begin in the next few weeks on the start of what could be a major energy hub on Teesside. A £650 million biomass energy plant's being built at Teesport. Its construction could create 600 jobs. 100 people will be employed there once it starts operating in 2020. Chief Executive of PD Ports, David Robinson, says many more jobs in the energy sector could be created as a result.
Typically, for the 100 jobs, there probably is another 200 to 300 jobs in service providers in terms of supply chain logistics for the power plant. And there may be other spin-offs as well. As Teesside becomes a major energy hub in the UK, more businesses will hopefully come here because the energy base is here.
Virgin Trains East Coast says it'll run a full service when 3 24-hour strikes are held by staff this month. They're planned for the next two Fridays and on Bank Holiday Monday. The RMT union's involved in a dispute over jobs and working conditions. Separately, the union has said that a strike by Eurostar train managers will be suspended from midnight so that further talks can be held. Two Turkish men who tried to smuggle cocaine with an estimated street value of £500 million have been jailed for 20 and 22 years. Glasgow High Court heard that more than 3 tonnes of the drug were hidden on board a tugboat stopped off the northeast coast of Scotland last year. It's thought to be the biggest single cocaine haul ever recovered at sea in Europe. John McGowan from the National Crime Agency says the case sends out a clear message.
You don't have to be a kingpin in an international drug smuggling operation to incur the wrath of our courts. These gentlemen were carrying out a vital role in transportation of a large quantity of drugs, and without their skill sets and supplying that role of transportation, international drug trafficking could not take place.
Labour's National Executive Committee's run a High Court ruling, allowing it to stop around 130,000 new members from voting in the leadership election between Jeremy Corbyn and his challenger Owen Smith. The Court of Appeal overturned a decision earlier this week. The Shadow Chancellor John McDonnell, who's supporting Mr Corbyn's campaign, says he's angry at what's happened and he says it flies in the face of democracy.
They use a grubby little device to actually go to the Court of Appeal to overturn what I thought was a straightforward decision in favour of democracy. I'm bitterly disappointed. I'm sorry for all those people who joined the party.
A 54-year-old man's been arrested on suspicion of arson after a fire in County Durham. Emergency services were called to the blaze on the Riverside Industrial Estate at Langley Park earlier this afternoon. The smoke's been affecting visibility on nearby roads. Rural businesses in the Dales and North York Moors will be waiting to see what effect an expected poor grouse season may have on the local economy. There are fewer birds around this year after a difficult winter and spring. It's likely to mean a reduced number of shooting days. But George Windarley, who owns the Spaunton Grouse Moor on the North York Moors, says he remains confident.
I'm sort of optimistically hoping that we'll only be very slightly below average here. So the knock-on effects to the local economy will probably only be very slightly down on what they normally are.
And staying rural, it's not exactly Rio, but some of the athletic sheep of the world are gathering in County Durham this weekend. The Sheep Olympics are taking place at Hall Hill Farm near Lanchester. It's being organised by farmer Anne Darlington. She says the competitors will be put through their paces.
We have got the hurdles. We're going to do the shot put and hopefully the long jump as well.
But will it be good weather for it? Jen Bartram has the forecast.
A fairly cloudy and breezy night to come with one or two spits and spots of rain. Temperatures overnight dropping down to 15 degrees Celsius. That's 59 in Fahrenheit.
Thank you, Graham and Jen. Good evening. This is BBC Tees Sport for your Friday evening. Paul Addison and Neil Madison with you through until 7 on Premier League Eve. Let's get a travel update before we do anything else in the company of Nick.
Not too much going on. The A19 looking good north and south. The A66, it's fairly clear. No problems with traffic flow. We're moving well through Middlesbrough, although the Transporter Bridge is still closed because of those strong winds. The windy weather, the reason for that, as always. Darlington, slow on Victoria Road coming out. It's moving fairly well through Durham compared to what it was. But there is still that big closure coming out of Durham on Neville's Cross Bank. It's A690, fully closed for outbound traffic only until the 12th of September. I'll be back with more in about 30 minutes, but if you can update me in the meantime, give me a call, please. And that's the latest.
Keeping Teesside, County Durham and North Yorkshire on the move. BBC Tees. Weekdays from 6, BBC Tees Sport.
You don't have long to wait now, Middlesbrough fans, before the new Premier League season kicks off. And it kicks off against Stoke City at the Riverside Stadium tomorrow afternoon at 3. To come, Aitor Karanka and George Friend on the challenge that lies ahead for Middlesbrough Football Club this season, back in the top flight for the first time in 7 years. And we want your views, your predictions, your hopes, your fears perhaps for the season ahead. We'll also talk to Craig Hignett as Pools go in search of their first win of the season. They're at Exeter City in League Two tomorrow. And Martin Gray is on the show tonight, looking forward to Darlington's opening home game of the season in National League North as they host Boston. We'll run down the non-league fixtures for you and hear from the Mask United camp as well. And we'll bring you the latest on the fourth test, England against Pakistan. And, of course, all the details from the Olympic Games.
Paul Addison and Neil Madison, BBC Tees Sport.
Yes, 01642 225 11 to give us a call tonight. Text 81333, start your text with the word Tees. Tweet at BBC Tees Sport. Email tees.sport@bbc.co.uk. Those are the ways to get in touch with us. We would love to hear from you on the eve of a new season for the Borough and, of course, the eve of a long trip for Pools in League Two. Neil Madison is here as previously advertised. Evening to you.
Evening, mate.
And is it like Christmas Eve, sort of, for you?
It's exciting. Yeah, it really is. I think it's been so long. Premier League sides have come to the Riverside and we're there now. We're one of them teams. And as I said, it's exciting times for Borough fans.
And you have been waiting for this since... I've just said to Mike there, a lot of people have been waiting for it since that full-time whistle went against Brighton. Because... what a moment that was. Oh, and it brings it all flooding back, doesn't it, when we're talking about being there again. Obviously, we've been in pre-season covering matches and we were at the Riverside last Saturday, but it doesn't really mean anything until tomorrow afternoon.
It doesn't, because as I was on the show this morning, it's just, you know, the build-up to it, you know, getting up in the morning, you know, thinking about the game and looking forward to going, getting your tops on, all the Borough tops, you know, people going to the stadiums with the kids, the families, it's their day. And then come about 2:45, that stadium be full. It'll be absolutely rammed and the noise starts level starts to go up and the players walking out the tunnel, it's going to be a special moment. And I just, you know, the fans, I'm sure they're going to play their part tomorrow. They'll need to, because they're not a bad side, Stoke. It's a tough game for us, but the fans will play their part this season.
And you wouldn't have expected anything else than anything other than a sellout, would you?
You wouldn't. It's the first game of the season. Stoke City, it's a Premier League side. It's, you know, it's to say that word Premier League, you know, Middlesbrough back in the Premier League, it's fantastic. And as I said, you wouldn't think any but more, but a full house at the Riverside, because it is an important game for us.
And in many respects, do you what's your take on the fact that it is Stoke City? Because if at all the Premier League flies under the radar, it's a fixture like Middlesbrough against Stoke City, isn't it? At 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. Not to us, because it's massive to us, but yeah. I mean in the context of the whole league. So if it was Middlesbrough against Manchester United, if it was Karanka against Mourinho first off, then the world and his wife would be here, or the world and more of his wives would be here. They will be already. But you know what I'm trying to say? Is it good to play somebody like, say, a team like Stoke City first off?
I'm a two-fist. I think Stoke City are a good side. They've got, you know, last season I thought they started really well. They sort of tethered off a little bit at the end, but he's made some good signings this year. Mark Hughes, they're going to be a tough nut to crack. They'll be organised. And as I said, they've got decent players in their side. So, you know, when you look at the fixtures and you think, oh, that's easy, that we'll get 3 points there. It's not. It's totally different. I think the Championship, mind you, we said it last year, we thought 3 points at Rotherham, 3 points there and down at Charlton. It never happened, you know. It's so unpredictable. It's similar, I wouldn't say it's similar to the Championship, but the quality of the type of players that you're going to see this season, you're going to watch some unbelievably good players, some good teams. And I just think, from our point of view, give it a go. Give it a good shot. And for if we stay in this division this season, I think it's a good achievement, because I think you look at the sides that have been there now, they're well established, they know how to survive, and we're just getting there. If we can just stay up this season, I tell you now, that will be an absolute, you know, it'll be a massive achievement for me.
So then, before a ball is kicked, and we're all about predictions and what's going to happen, you know, the papers are full of it, the BBC website is BBC Sport website full of all the predictions, yeah, and where people are going to finish. First of all, with the heart, where do you think Borough will? How do you think they'll do?
I know it's not me. It's just survival.
Right.
Stay in that league. I can't predict anything. It's unpredictable. It's like, you know, it's like. But just stay in the league. Stay in. Make sure you get the points. You look at the teams that have gone up. They're the ones that are favourites to go down because they're not well equipped. Hull City are really struggling. Mm. You know, no manager, no players. They're really struggling. So make sure you get above them. Burnley, make sure you get above them. And then you just hoping you're dragging a few more around you. And you finish 17th, 16th. I'm not bothered. If we finish in the top 10, absolutely brilliant. What a season. But for me, it is staying in this league.
So it's that 17th. That would do. At the end,
the first season, I think, yeah, you do. Then you build, then you look, and you know, you've, yeah, got a little bit more money on board. You can start to expand. You can start to look at different players and trying to get a little bit more quality into the club. I think we have got quality in the club. You know, the players from last season. Let's not forget them. Mm. They got us here. You know, and Aitor Crank has given them a chance. I think they'll be able to cope. I think the two centre halves will be able to cope. I think George Fenn will. I certainly think Clayton will. I think he's been outstanding in pre-season, and he'll relish this sort of challenge. You know, and then it's up to you, the boys, to stand up and make sure you put a performance in, especially at home. I think we've got to make the Riverside such a cauldron, such a difficult place to come and play. And like I said before, I think the fans will play a massive part. They've got to make it noisy. They've got to make it intimidating. And it's the same goes tomorrow. First game, get behind the players, roar them on to the last whistle.
And 9 signings became 10 earlier on today when, yep, Brazilian fullback Fabio da Silva joined the Borough. 2-year deal from Cardiff, a fee believed to be in the region of around £2 million. It's long been sort of advertised that he was on his way. What do you make of him?
Well, it's another player on board, isn't it? Another player that's played in the Premier League, a little bit of quality, and that's what you want. You know, he's a full-back. We've got competition in all places now, centre-halves. I think the only one at the moment is left-back, isn't it? You know, mm, George Friend is out there on his own, and we're hoping that he stays fully fit. Midfield, plenty of competition up there. Up front, loads of competition in Rhodes, Nugent, Negredo. Then you've got Ramirez just playing off them. Out wide, we have got competition as well, so... competition, it's brilliant. You've got to be on your toes. You've got to make sure you're performing in training, because, you know, Aitor's like, if you're not performing in training, you don't play on a Saturday. So, you know, making sure that you're absolutely spot on everything you do, and then come Saturday, make sure you perform and try and get results.
All right, 01642 225 11 to talk to us tonight about the Borough, about Pools, about Darlington, about any of your teams. Text us 81333. Start the message with the word tease. Tweet at BBC T-Sport. David Ormsby's been on. He's predicting 2-0 to the Borough. 13 minutes past 6, BBC T-Sport.
BBC T-Sport.
Bring you up to date on England-Pakistan in the cricket very shortly at the Oval, fourth and final test. First of all, let's hear from the boss. Less than 24 hours to go then before Borough make their return to the Premier League against Stoke City at the Riverside, as if you needed reminding. Well, Aitor Karanka has been talking to BBC T-Sport's Rob Law about being ready for the big time.
Well, I think it's the point that everybody wanted to be... For me, 2 years and a half, and for the people, for our crowd, 6 or 7 years ago. So for that reason, I am really pleased, and everybody knows, especially here, how tough has been to get this this point. And for that reason, we have to to enjoy it, we have to work more and harder because, you know, Premier League is not the championship, but I am really, really pleased, and especially when we play the first game at home.
And it really is the season of managers, isn't it, in the Premier League this season? Conte, Mourinho, Pep Guardiola as well. How much are you looking forward to pitting your wits against the likes of those managers?
Well, I think it's a league with the best, with Spain and maybe Germany and France, with the best coaches. And for me, it's a good challenge, but I think the best challenge and the main challenge is for the club, because the club is the most important thing, and for me, the Rafa Football Club to be again in Premier League is the main thing, and we have to again to enjoy it and to work every day harder than we did last season and 2 seasons ago.
And the fans, the Middlesbrough fans, will know what type of football they can expect from Middlesbrough in the Championship. What can they expect from Middlesbrough in the Premier League?
Yeah, I think we have our style, and our style is to try to win every single game. This season, obviously, is going to be more difficult because we're going to play against really, really good teams. But again, we have our style. We have to play with our intensity, with our organisation. And the day that we play in that way, we will have more chances to win.
And in the past, it was always the teams that got promoted from the Championship, they were always the favourites to go back down. But now, that's not the case anymore. The likes of Bournemouth, Watford, and of course what Leicester did last season as well. You must take confidence from that.
Yes, and again, both of them are good examples. But I think now, with the money and with everything about Premier League, the clubs have been working really, really well behind the scenes, and for the reason I'm really pleased, because this club has been working really, really good since the season finished last May. So for the reason we have a really good squad, but again, we can't make the mistake that we are going to do an amazing season. And my amazing season will be to stay in Premier League, because again, we have to build the foundations to stay in Premier League for in a long term, because it's a tough league. So for this, we have to keep calm.
And in the Premier League, there's a lot more focus on individual clubs, and everything is under a microscope. You know, just today, there's a lot more press here than there was last season, and that sort of thing. Do you relish that? Is that something you look forward to?
Yes, and I think we are ready. All of us are looking forward to playing on Saturday, and again, we've been working really, really tough the last 2 years and a half to be in this position.
There he is, the Naito Karanka, Borough's head coach, and he just reiterated right near the end, Neil, what you were saying, just survive.
I love listening to Naito because he's such a professional. You know, he works really hard at his job, and all summer, I'm certain he might have had a week off, but that's it, week off. But he would have been still thinking about Middlesbrough. Mm. He'd be thinking about the Borough and what he's going to do and the signings. His form would have been red hot, and he's right. Stay in that division. Stay in the division. It's important that we do. And then you build, like you said, you build. You look year by year for the long term. It's important that we do stay in the division.
How will he be feeling tonight when he's sitting at home, presumably later on, and just thinking, right, last sleep before I'm a Premier League manager?
He'll be excited.
It's a massive moment for him, isn't
it? Yeah, I'm pleased for him. He'll be really excited. It's an important time for him. You know, as a manager as well, I think he wants to be the top manager. You know, I believe he's got aspirations to manage the biggest clubs in the world. That's what you get that feeling. That's the type of man he is. He wants to succeed in everything he does, and I think he'll be. You know, last season we looked at some of the decisions. I mean, look at the last game of the season when he left Stewie Downing out and he put, you know, Stuani, and we all looked and we thought, well, you know, Stewie, you've been playing, he drops him for that game, isn't? But he got it right. Mm. And other times he got it wrong, but that's management for you. You know, at the end of the day, you're the one that picks a side. You're the one that sees his team week in, week out on the training field. We don't see it. We just look on Saturdays and see how they're playing and what would you do? What type of team would you play? We had the 4-4-2 situation last year, didn't we? How many times have we had that? You know, and yet
I think he's got legs yet as well.
Yeah, I think this season will be calling for it at times, but he stuck by his principles, and he it got us to where we wanted to be, you know, and I think it'll be the same this season. He won't change anything. He's his own man. He's really professional, as I said, and I'm delighted for him. As I said, I think he's got aspirations to manage the biggest clubs in the world, and he'll see this as a good opportunity. You know, survival for Middlesbrough Football Club this season is paramount. You really, I think it, that's what's in, set in his mind, you know, stay in this division, and then you see where it takes you. See what next season happens, but it's important. It's going to be, I think it's going to be tough for us. I think it's going to be really tough, but as I said before, Ado, I just think survival, 17th place, I think that is a, for me, it's an achievement. It really is, because, you know, you're so many years behind the boys in the Premier League now. You know, they're like the top lads. You know, then you're looking at Bournemouth, who've been there a couple of seasons now, and you're just hoping that you can get them results that you need to keep us in that division.
All right, BBC T Sport Stewart's been on Twitter. He says Borough 4, Stoke 0, Negredo with a hat trick, and Adam Clayton. Can you imagine if we're sitting there at 5 o'clock tomorrow and that's happened?
I'd be delighted.
I'd be more than delighted. Keep them coming at BBC T Sport on the Twitter. Text 81333. Start your text with the word tease.
Borough in the Premier League. Join us live from the Riverside Stadium for Borough v Stoke tomorrow from 2.
Now, let's just update you ahead of hearing from George Friend on Borough's opening Premier League game of the season on the cricket and the fourth test at the Oval. Remember, yesterday, England were all out for 328. Pakistan have had a good day with the bat. 329 for six. They are leading by, they lead by five now, actually, 333 for six there. So it's been a hard day in the field for England. Two centurions. Yunus Khan is unbeaten on 100, and earlier Asad Shafiq hit 109. There's also 49 for Azhar Ali. So 333 for six, England toiling in the field, and Pakistan leading by five runs in that fourth and final test at the Oval. We'll keep you in touch with that as we move forward before stumps there tonight. 21 minutes past six, as previously advertised. George Friend next on Borough against Stoke.
I hope they'll do well this season.
Absolutely tremendous.
The only station with full match commentary of every Premier League Borough game. Join us live from the Riverside Stadium for Borough v Stoke. Mark Drury, Neil Madison and Rob Law bring you every kick live on 95 FM.
While on DAB, Hartlepool are away at Exeter City in League 2. Borough v Stoke and Exeter versus Pools.
Tomorrow from 2 on BBC Tees.
Well, George Friend will realise a long-held ambition when he runs out as a Middlesbrough player and indeed the captain tomorrow in the Premier League. Well, Friend's been talking to Rob about getting used to life as a top-flight footballer.
Obviously, it's a bit clearer now than then. It was all a bit of a haze, but it's certainly sunk in, and especially when the game starts, then it will really sunk in. I see a full Riverside and everyone shouting, and I just be so proud to be there, and proud of everyone in the area that they're all there enjoying it too.
What's it been like with the rest of the players and the squad this week? Because I imagine that the excitement levels have gone up and everybody's trying that little bit harder to impress and get into the team on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, competition for places is ridiculous, as you can imagine, and everyone's wanting to get on, not just on the team sheet, in the squad, and it's a competitive time, but that's how it needs to be. We're in the Premier League, and it's sure to be that all the other squads around the country will be the same. So if we want to keep up with that, then we've got to match it. And there's an excitement as well and a buzz, and every player can't wait and to play their part, because everyone will be important in a long season.
And how important is it as well? You know, this week there's a lot more press around, there's a lot more things to do in terms of interviews and that sort of thing. How important is it that not to get too caught up in the hype, if you like?
Yeah, I think it's we understand that Premier League's got far more coverage, and you know, people are generally, if you're going to be blunt, more interested in it than the Championship, because it's one of the best leagues in the world. So you've got to do that part. But once you get on the training pitch or out on the pitch on Saturday, you've got to just forget everything, and it's back to 90 minutes and two teams. So albeit a bit more quality on the opposition team, but we've got good quality in ours, so we'll be up there and fighting for it.
What's the summer been like for George Friend? What have you been doing during the downtime that you've had?
I just, straight after that last game, I just rested and enjoyed just being away with my family. I spent some time with friends, went back home, just had a permanent smile on my face, really, and with about 3 weeks before we had to come in, I was sort of popping my head into the training ground, see if anyone was about, or if, you know, trying to get back training a little bit. So my pre-season's been about 3 weeks longer than everyone else's because I've tried to get in early. But I just loved the way it ended last season. It was perfect, and I'm hoping we can recreate some great moments this season too.
And what's it been like seeing the quality of players that have been brought into the club, the likes of Victor Valdes, people who've won the World Cup, people who've won the Premier League, Negredo, and some of the other players as well, Martin de Roon. There's some real quality, an influx of quality being brought in by Aitor Karanka this summer.
Yeah, it's credit to a lot of people, I guess. The chairman, first and foremost, for going out and getting these guys, and the recruitment team's been superb to source these players and manage to bring them in, and the manager as well for his input. So we've got to use their experience and their talents and combine it to an already good squad with a lot of quality in it. And I think altogether that's a recipe for success, hopefully. And I think so far in pre-season we've proved that. And the guys' characters are excellent as well. So I think it's going to be very exciting and very positive.
George Friend talking to Rob Law there this week up at the Borough Training Ground. And George Friend epitomises, of course, the spirit of Teesside, doesn't he? He's massively popular, and he's going to be the captain tomorrow, which is a good moment for him. Grant Ledbetter is missing, of course, injured for a good while. So George is going to lead the team, and there'll be no prouder player in that dressing room, will there?
Well, I'll be very proud, walking out first Premier League game at the Riverside, full house. He will be tingling. He'll be thinking about it tonight. Honestly, I mean, his achievements since he's been at the football club, not just through football, but just how he sort of integrates with the community. So many good causes that he goes to, working with, the people at the football club, working outside, as I said, going into the community and seeing people and helping as many people as possible, and going on that football pitch and giving absolute 100%, absolutely fantastic player and a great guy as well.
How concerned are you with the situation ahead of tomorrow about the centre of the defence? Because, of course, Daniel Ayala, although Aitor Karanka did say to us this week that Daniel Ayala's been training, he is in the squad, as is Bernardo Espinosa, but you wouldn't imagine that Daniel Ayala would start the match, would you? Because he's not been involved in any of the pre-season. Would you be surprised to see him?
I don't know. I think sometimes when we've tried to get a centre-half and it hasn't happened. Dale Fry, for me, has done really well. Mm. He's a young kid. Do you slip him in for one game and test him again? I think Dale will be good. I think he'll do okay. But there again, Ayala, would you risk him? He hasn't really played. He's only done this week, hasn't he? Trained this week. But he's got quality. He's done it before. He's come in. He's only had a week's training before and came in and done really well. Aitor might see that and gamble. I don't know, but do I see it being a problem? Only time will tell. I'm glad I'm not the manager. I'm glad I'm not the manager, because he will have to make that decision.
Well, what do you make of what he did last week against Real Sociedad? Then with Barahan playing alongside Ben Gibson.
Yeah, I thought he did okay. Yeah. I thought he did okay, but I don't know. I'd like to see an out-and-out centre-half there alongside Ben Gibson. I think when you're swapping positions and you're not, I wouldn't say you're untoo sure, but there's a risk there. It's the first game of the season, and I just think I would prefer Dale Fry to go there. I think he'll do okay. He's a tough lad. He's a young lad with lots of experience. He's been out and done the under-21s. He's been at the tournaments. So he knows his game, and I think mentally he is tough. And I think he'll be able to cope with it. So if it is Dale, good luck to him. But if it's not, and he decides to put Espinosa, or I think the favourite is Ayala, if he's had this week, and I think Karanka will just have a chat with him and say, listen, are you ready? He just signed a 4-year contract as well. If you're ready, just give it your all. You've got Dale on the bench, just a little bit of experience there. So it's up to the manager. As I said before, manager's job is a really tough one. He's got to make them decisions.
Mm. And just on the other signings, I mean, 10 now in all this summer. Was that more than you expected when we set out on this summer of kind of rebuilding and reshaping the squad for the Premier
League? Not really. I felt we needed quite a few bodies in. I expected a few to go out. You know, I really did. I expected a few to go out, but it hasn't happened, and I'm pleased because I think some of the players deserve a chance. You know, I think you look at Clayton, he stood out for me, as I said, in pre-season. I think he's been brilliant. He knows his job. Daroom has done okay. I think there's more for him to come. I'm pleased. Gaston is back. I'm pleased because he's shown what he's capable of doing. I think he is key to us playing that system. You know, I know everyone will think, you know, you keep on going about him, but I just think he is that person that can change things, you know. I think we lack a little bit of pace going forward. You know, really do so. Tomorrow, I think defensively, the back four and the two holding midfielders, they'll do their job. And it's up to the four front, them four, go and exploit them. You know, we're at home, play on the front foot, make sure you get in the faces, squeeze up a little bit, and let's start with a really good tempo. Aitor Cranker demands that, doesn't he? You know, when we do start with a tempo and win the faces of other teams, we look decent, we look good, we're pinching the ball further up the field, we're putting them under pressure, and it gets the crowd going as well. I think when you sit back and they have a little bit of possession and, you know, there's a few chances here and there, you can feel the tension in the crowd, can't you? So I hope we do get on the front foot straight away and really put them under pressure, and it gets the crowd lifted.
All right, to come before seven, we're going to hear from Craig Hignett as Pools head to Exeter City in League Two. Also more from Aitor Cranker and George Friend on Borough's Big Day, and Martin Gray as Darlington prepare to play their first home game of the season in National League North. It's just gone 6:30.
BBC T-Sport.
These are tonight's top stories. Middlesbrough have confirmed their 10th signing of the summer with less than 24 hours to go until the start of the new Premier League season. Brazilian fullback Fabio da Silva has joined on a 2-year deal from Cardiff for a fee believed to be in the region of around £2 million. Meanwhile, Borough youngster Harry Chapman's joined League One side Sheffield United on a season-long loan. Two more of Borough's Premier League fixtures have been moved for TV. The home game against Watford on the 15th of October will now kick off at 12:30 rather than 3. And the home game against Chelsea, which was originally due to be played on Saturday, November the 19th, will now take place on Sunday the 20th at 4 o'clock. The Manchester United manager Jose Mourinho says he wasn't aware that Paul Pogba would be suspended for their opening game of the season until 2 days ago. The Frenchman will miss Sunday's trip to Bournemouth after collecting 2 yellow cards in the Coppa Italia. It's been another golden day for Great Britain at the Olympics as they won 2 gold medals on the water at Lagoa. Helen Glover and Heather Stanning successfully defended their Olympic title by winning the women's pair. The world champions, who won Britain's first gold at the London Games in 2012, led from the start as they finished 1.2 seconds clear of New Zealand. Meanwhile, Great Britain claimed a 5th consecutive Olympic title in the men's four. Mohamed Sibi, George Nash, Constantine Leloudis and 2012 winner Alex Gregory finished ahead of Australia and Italy. Great Britain's Katarina Johnson-Thompson is in gold medal position and defending champion Jessica Ennis-Hill in bronze after a thrilling first morning of the heptathlon. Ennis-Hill ran 12.84 seconds to win her 100 metres hurdles heat and give herself an early edge, then cleared a season's best 1.89 metres in the high jump, but Johnson-Thompson jumped a British record of 1.98 metres to take the lead. Almaz Ayana of Ethiopia broke the world record by 14 seconds as she took gold in the women's 10,000 metres final. Joe Pavey finished 15th in what was her 5th Olympics. Two of our Olympians are in action later on. Middlesbrough's Rabah Youssef's in the opening round of the 400 metres in the early hours of tomorrow morning, and the Loftus table tennis player Paul Drinkall is part of the Great Britain team for their round one match against France at 11:30. You can catch that on the BBC Red Button, BBC One, BBC Four, all of those places. At the Oval, Pakistan have moved on to 340 for 6 in their first innings. That's in reply to England's 328. The tourists lead by 12 runs. And there's racing at Catterick this evening. It's ladies' night, where a 6-race card is already underway.
BBC T Sport.
Now, let's get some matchday travel and weather. Travel first, here's Nick.
I'm Nick Arkell and here's your matchday traffic. If you're following Hartlepool to Exeter, it's likely to take you around 6 hours to do the 346-mile journey to the Grecians ground at St James Park. It's about 8,500 capacity, of course, down there. If you're leaving directly from Hartlepool, temporary lights on Elwick Road might delay your journey to the A19. And then further into the route, there are roadworks on the M42 around Junction 8 with resurfacing, 50 mile per hour speed limits on the southbound side, and also narrow lanes. So the same on the M5, narrow lanes and 50 mph speed limit in about three different places: junction 4A to 6, junction 10 through to 11A, and junction 12 to 14 through Worcestershire and Gloucestershire. Middlesbrough, of course, at home to Stoke City tomorrow. No planned works on the way to Riverside. However, don't forget the clamping down on those parking restrictions. So double yellows on Moor Road, Heath Road, Cargofleet Road, and Marsh Road near the Navigation Pub, along with that stricter enforcement on the A66 on Slip Road at Middlehaven. That's your match day traffic.
So what's the weather going to do? Here's Jen Bartram.
It looks like a dry day in store as Borough welcomes Stoke to the Riverside. It should be dry, cloudy and a bit breezy from the west, with temperatures around 19 degrees Celsius. A touch warmer for Hartlepool's visit to Exeter City. Again, it should be dry. Lighter winds here though, and a temperature of 21 degrees Celsius. That's 70 in Fahrenheit.
We're here until 7 tonight. Then it's Georgie Spanswick, and from 10, Paddy McDee.
Paul Addison and Neil Madison, BBC T-Sport.
25 to 7 the time now. Hartlepool United are looking for their first win of the season at Exeter City tomorrow. Pools were unlucky to lose to Preston in injury time in the EFL Cup on Tuesday, and they drew with Colchester in the opening game of the League 2 season last weekend. Our manager Craig Ignat's pleased with the way Pools are playing.
Yeah, I'm delighted with what I've seen. I think going into the season, you want a level of consistency in performances, and I think over the two games we've got that. Should have won Saturday really against Colchester, if I'm being honest. And then the other night I thought, you know, we certainly, as the game wore on, we more than matched Preston, and in the end it could have went either way. You know, there was chances both ends, and to lose it in the 94th minute was a cruel way to lose it. But listen, the performance was everything I wanted.
So has anyone from midweek played their way into your team for this weekend then?
Listen, no one played their way out on Saturday, and that's what I want. I want a squad that, it doesn't matter who I play, performance and quality won't dip, and it didn't. So I've got a real headache for Saturday, but it's a nice headache to have.
People who watched you on Tuesday are talking about, you know, organisation being evident, and clearly it would have to be, wouldn't it, against the Championship team to take them as far as you did. Is that one of the big things you've done over the summer, do you think?
I think it's since I've come in, we've tried to be difficult to play against and hard to break down, and you know, they did have some chances, but I think you could see by the way, you know, the desire of the lads to get their bodies in the way and to get back in a shape and to defend properly was great. You know, I think we've improved from last year, certainly as a team and as a squad. And you know, the consistency is a big thing in this league. If you put in performances week in week out like we have done for the last two, we'll win far more games than we'll lose.
So how big a thing is getting your first win of the season? I mean, despite having played well.
It's only people like you that make a big thing of it. It doesn't bother me. You know, playing well will get you results. We haven't lost a league game yet. So that's nice. We've been beat by a goal at the last kick of the game against the Championship side on their patch, who played a full-strength side. So I can't be disappointed with what I've seen at all.
And you go into a place where Pools have done pretty well in recent years. Three wins out of five attempts. I mean, I know that is the past and you might say it's irrelevant, but still, it's done well for you.
Grounds like that, don't you, where you tend to do well on them and for no reason. You know, so hopefully that'll continue against Saturday. It'll be a tough game. You know, there's a bit of travelling involved between now and then. And then there's a team to be picked. But I know for a fact whatever team I put out will be capable of winning the game. I'm sure of that.
And what about Exeter? I mean, what sort of challenge do they pose you? Because they've got a man in charge who is now the second longest serving manager in English football after Arsene Wenger. So continuity is obviously a key theme for them.
Yeah, listen, year on year, Paul's done really well with them. He's a nice fella. He's gets his teams playing the right way. That'll be a test. It'll be a real test for us. I know what to expect. I know I'm going to play against them. And we've done some work this week anyway on that. So as far as him being there for that long, it shows you what a good job he's done to be there for 10 years, I think.
So if you were to be anywhere near that length of time at Pools, I mean, you'd be pretty happy, wouldn't you?
I'd be thinking I'm doing my job wrong if I'm there for 10 years.
Why?
Because I'm still there. No, listen, it's, you know, I'm ambitious, Paul's ambitious, we're all ambitious. And you want to do your job as best you can, and if by doing your job you get success, then brilliant. And I think there's a lot to be said for continuity as well. You know, I'm delighted being here now. This is a great learning ground for me. This is a place where I can put into practice everything that I think I know, if that makes sense. And so far, you know, I'm pleased with the progress of of us as a club and us as a team.
What about fitness of players? Have you got any worries before the weekend?
I've got none. We've had a really good pre-season, got to the first game with no injury worries, and that's carried on. You know, the way we train and the way we prepare has been spot on, so I've been lucky with injuries, really.
There's Craig Hignett talking to Mark Drury during the week. Poole's off to Exeter, one of the longest trips they'll face of the season. It's good to get it out of the way, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
In August, when the sun's shining. It's better than going in December. Unlucky during the week, Preston almost went to extra time in the EFL Cup.
Well, they were saying how organised were Hartlepool, and I think not just against the top lads in the championship. I think Higgy will demand that in all games. You know, I think be hard to beat, like he said, and make sure you've got the front men that can stick it in the back of the net, you know. So, yeah, I think they're playing some good, attractive football. They're creating chances, and, yeah, I think Higgy'll fancy himself down there.
Yeah, they've got a good recent record down at St James's Park as well. But reasons for optimism for Poole's fans, they've got to get that first win. They've only played two matches, one in league and one in cup. But I think a decent season ahead?
Yeah, I hope so. You know, I heard the interview that he said, listen, what do you want from this season? He said, I want to win the league. And that's, you know, it is. I think in that division, as long as you get them players moulding in the way you want to play and they know exactly what you want for them, I think they'll give Higgy all they've got. And I just think going down there, the record they've got, I think that he'll fancy his chances.
Good stuff. Pools at Exeter tomorrow is on BBC T-Sport on DAB Digital Radio, of course. Full match commentary on that on DAB. Plus updates on Darlington at home to Boston United. We're going to hear from Martin Gray, the Quakers boss, before 6 o'clock tonight.
We're in the Premier League.
I'm calling on all the Teesside to be there and support. It's the best place. I love it.
BBC Tees.
Let's get back to Borough then. Stoke City, the visitors tomorrow afternoon in the Premier League. And Aitor Karanka says he's delighted with the summer spending the club's done in preparation for the big time.
I'm really pleased in terms of names and characters and attitudes. But we have to be careful because no much of them have experience in Premier League. So far, it's going to take time to fix the team. We are waiting for a few players more, but again, playing as a team, we will win a few games.
So you would expect to, are you looking to maybe add more strength to the squad before the end of the window?
Yes, I said, and it's obvious that we need to strengthen the defence because we don't have enough players, especially this season when we don't have the your loans or emergency loans, and we have to finish the squad before the 31st of August. So for that reason, we are working really well, and with two more players, I think we can finish the squad.
And of course, when a team gets promoted to the Premier League, I'm sure there's a lot of Championship clubs who are knocking on your door asking about players who got you promoted. Have you had much interest from other clubs about your players?
Yes, because I have an amazing squad, and most of them knows to play in Championship, but again, now we are in Premier League, we have that advantage, and now I want to build my squad, and then when I have my squad built, we'll send the players on loan, or we'll sell the players, but always thinking about us and about the players who are going out.
And Stoke City on Saturday, it's when it all begins for real. How do you feel going into that? Is that a kind opening day fixture? Is it a hard one? How do you sum it up?
Well, I think it's a good game because the first thing we are playing at home, and I think our crowd deserves to enjoy that game, especially after the game against Brighton, and now they can realise that we are in Premier League. I don't want to say that it's going to be a celebration because the celebration was against Brighton, but I think it's going to be good for all of them and against that team, which is another good example for us, a team which got promoted, I don't remember now, how many years ago, and they are building a good team with a squad, with a really good players, really good managers, experienced managers. So for that reason, it's a good day for us, and I'm really looking forward to it.
It's going to be difficult to pick that starting 11, isn't it?
Yes, and every day is going to be more difficult. So I said last season that for me it's a really nice thing to write to my desk and to have that headache to choose the right players.
Headaches from Aitor Karanka, but a good headache trying to select his starting 11. Let's just talk about goalkeepers because it's been much...
Again?
Yeah, much talked of, hasn't it? Dimi is the number one in terms of the shirt, which was... they did the shirt numbers this week. But Brad Guzan has arrived from Aston Villa. Victor Valdez has arrived. Would you expect to see Valdez in goal tomorrow?
Yeah, I would expect him to be. Guzan, I mean, it all depends what they've been doing. I mean, in the games, we've seen him in the games, seen Guzan in the games, seen Dimi second half on Saturday. They're fighting for that number one jersey, aren't they? And Dimi's got the number one. Whether he's in on goal on Saturday, it's down to the manager. I mean, he's got a headache. He has to pick the best. He has to pick the best side. But that's what managers are paid for, aren't they?
Yeah, but you can't have four goalkeepers in the Premier League squad, can you?
Well, he just said there, listen, I've got a squad, he's got an amazing squad, but you know, when it's together and when he feels what's right, he will put a side out that he feels is... He'll let players go. He will let players go on loan or maybe to a permanent deal. I just think he wants to get his squad together and then... Yeah, I just think it's inevitable, isn't it?
Indeed. Borough against Stoke tomorrow. Full match commentary with Neil and Mark, with Rob at pitch side, of course. BBC T-Sport 95 FM and Freeview Channel 722 on your television. Coming next, more from George Friend.
BBC T's Breakfast with Neil and Amy.
Barry and Newton Aycliffe, I walked into the wrong funeral once. It was only when the vicar kept saying she instead of he, I thought there's a rabbit off here.
Stand by your beds, oh, Graham. Yeah. Have you got an embarrassing moment?
Years ago, I was on a train on my holidays in Austria and I put my hand out to the armrest and realised that I was actually resting my hand on the knee of the gentleman next to me.
When numbers exchanged?
He's still right.
He moves a bit further. Yeah.
BBC T's Breakfast with Neil and Amy. Weekday mornings from 6:30.
Well, as we look forward to the new Premier League season, George Friend says he can't wait to be on the same pitch as some of the world's top players.
It's what you dream of, and it's why in the Championship you fight tooth and nail to get out of the Championship, because you want to be playing with these guys. And I've been doing that for a long time in my career, getting, you know, going to some tough places in the second tier, and now we're here. You've got to enjoy it and relish it, but realise that it's a tough task and these are some world-class players. But that's what you want, and you want to play against them.
Feeling confident? You sound very confident.
Yeah, you've got to be. It's the start of the season and it's very encouraging, and I think, like I said, the recruitment, the people we've brought in can only lift us. So we've got to enjoy every minute of it.
So Stoke City on Saturday, it's for real, back in the Premier League after 7 years. Is that a kind opening fixture, or am I being unfair to Stoke City?
No, it's a tough game, but I think we could have had anyone first game. It would be tough. First game of the season, whatever league you're in, it's not a lottery, but it's hard to know the outcome because everyone's working each other out. The squad's still forming. A lot of players haven't played together for a while, so it's going to be tricky, but... we've got to play Stoke at some time, and it's better at the Riverside than away. So we're ready for them, and we're ready for that challenge.
And they're a different team now, aren't they, under Mark Hughes? And last season, they proved that, you know, they're not one of these teams who will just knock it long now. They're a team that really like to get the ball down and play, which might be to your advantage.
Yeah, I think we'll find that in the Premier League anyway. You haven't got your cold Tuesday nights where they're just launching it to a 6-for-8 monster, yeah. You know, in the box every 5 minutes. The teams have a lot of quality, and someone like Stoke have got a real great group of players, very talented. So we'll have to be on our guard and be wary of that.
And they've got some real quality going forward as well, haven't they?
Yeah, we saw a few of their players in the Euros and how impressive they were. So we're going to find that every week, so we'll be ready for Stoke and ready for those key players.
And just finally, sold out Riverside Stadium, that's going to be something to walk out to.
Yeah, I mean, that atmosphere of the last game against Brighton was the best I've ever witnessed. It was amazing, and if we can recreate anything like that, it would just give everyone such a lift, and I think the fans would admit themselves it must be more enjoyable when it's like that for them. So I'm calling on all the Teesside to be there and support because it's the best place. I love playing there. It's the only place I want to play and I love it. So let's get going again.
The rallying cry from George Friend.
Yeah, well done, George.
We're less than 24 hours away. We've said everything. 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, we're on from the riverside. 3 o'clock, the game is on. Just let's play football now.
Oh, let's get it on. Yeah, let's get it. It's exciting, isn't it? First game at the riverside, full house. Let's not disappoint. Make sure we get out the blocks and let's have a right good goal. 3 points on the board would be magnificent.
That would be superb, wouldn't it? Mark Lawrenson, by the way, on the BBC Sport website, does these predictions in the Premier League. He's gone for a 1-0 Borough win.
Good.
I don't know whether that's good or bad.
No, I would take that all day long. I've gone for 2-0. Yeah. But my predictions sometimes are absolutely awful. But
that's all right.
Yeah, well, I just want to see us get out there. And I think, as you said before, Addo, I think it's important that, you know, this season, let's consolidate. Let's make sure we stay in the league. We could do a Leicester. Who knows? I think it's very unlikely. Highly unlikely. I mean, dear me, it would be fantastic if we did.
But hey, you can dream. Neil, yeah. Thank you. You'll be at the riverside tomorrow. Go and have an early night and continue your preparations for tomorrow. It's going to be a big day. Thank you very much. Cheers, Neil Maddison is with us, as always, Friday night's BBC T-Sport. And he'll be alongside me and Mark at the back of the West Stand tomorrow afternoon with Rob down at pitchside for Borough against Stoke. Commentary 95 FM and Freeview Channel 722. And of course, we're on all frequencies as we build up to the big game from 2 o'clock.
It's a new squad, a new season, a new league. Every Premier League Borough game live on BBC Tees.
Really important game for Darlington tomorrow. Their first home one of the season in National League North. They take on Boston United. The Quakers got their campaign underway with a dramatic 2-2 draw at Old Altrincham last weekend, and manager Martin Gray says they can't wait for their first match at Heritage Park.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to get our first home game under the way. You know, it's been a long pre-season. Having said that, I thought our performance against Altrincham was a real, real strong performance, and you know, it was a real, real great point that we gained and something to build from.
It is something to build from, and it's also up against a former Football League club who were in the playoffs last season.
Yeah, very similar to ourselves. You know, they've rebuilt their club. They've had a really strong fan base. They've been in the playoffs last two seasons. So, you know, they'll come and they'll give us a real, real tough challenge. I know they haven't won the first two games, and I'm sure they'll be wanting to put that right. So we know we've got to treat them with the utmost respect, which we will do, and, you know, make sure that we do our job right.
There's several former Football League clubs in this division, aren't there? For example, there's Stockport County in there, and there's Kidderminster. There's going to be a lot of similar games to Boston United this season.
Yeah, I'm going down to FC United tomorrow night to watch Stockport County, just to run my eye over that game. But as I said, there's not an easy game. You know, there's understandably the level's gone up in a big way, and we've got to make sure that we raise the crossbar as well, which we did last Saturday, so we give ourselves a platform to work from. And I believe as the season goes on, you know, we'll get stronger and stronger.
It's important, isn't it, to do well in the first game, because then you build up momentum.
Yeah, I think it's as you say, you just sort of, you know, players going to the new league, you know, it's that little bit of sort of unsure exactly what it's about. But I think, you know, as you said, we conducted ourselves really well last week, and I felt we could have come away with all 3 points on another day. But we gained a valuable point, and I feel that it's now, you know, our first home game this season, hoping to get a real, real big crowd. I'm sure Boston will bring a good support as well, and, you know, to try and take maximum points.
There'll be some new blood in the squad on Saturday. Mark Beck's clearance has finally come through.
Yeah, like I say, we've been working very hard on that last sort of 2 weeks, and at last we got through today, so that was really pleasing. So he comes into the squad this weekend. Thompson is available as well. So, you know, we've got two new additions to the squad this weekend. So, yeah, you know, it just makes us a little bit stronger again.
You mentioned a big crowd there. There's a role for the spectators as well, isn't there, to get behind the lads as much as possible.
Last week's support down at Alfreton Altrincham was something special. You know, I think there was 400 or 500 travelling fans, and to get the goal in the second half and see now the fans celebrate that, you know, it just means so much. And I've said this for 4 years now, you know, and the players love that, you know, and when they hear that noise and the drive, and you know, it means everything. And I feel that the fans play a massive part, home and away, and it's got to continue.
Martin Gray, Darlington against Boston tomorrow at Heritage Park. Updates during the pools commentary for you. Three matches in the Northern Premier League Premier Division tomorrow. It's Spennymoor away at Hensford. Whitby are going to Sutton Coldfield and Blyth v Colville. Division 1 of the Northern League, Chesterley Street against North Shields. Concert v South Shields. Jarrah Roofing against Dunstan. Mask against Newton Aycliffe. More of that in a sec. Newcastle Benfield v Morpeth. Bishop Auckland at Penrith. Sunderland at home to Ashington. Gisborough at Sunderland RCA. Washington versus Seaham Red Star, West Auckland against West Allotment, and Whitley Bay against Ryup CW. In Division 2, Billingham Synthony against Wrighton and Crawcrook, Billingham Town are away at Blyth Town, Durham City head to Brandon, Crook against Bedlington, Northallerton are off to Easington, Stockton Town go to Hebburn, Norton and Stockton host Darlington RA, Team Northumbria at home to Wickham, Thornaby against Heaton Stannington, Towlow v Eshwinning, and Willington v Annick. So Mask United go into the Division 1 campaign as one of the title favourites. They knocked South Shields out of the FA Cup last weekend, and that was a result which delighted their manager, Carl Jarrett.
I do think, you know, a lot of people who come through the gate would have ticked the box, like I said, the lads in a Shields win. Our lads showed different characters on Saturday. The work rate was immense all over. A really, really good team performance pulled together, you know, which was fantastic from a manager's point of view, watching the way that we got on with our jobs.
Obviously, pre-season, you had your shopping bag out. Danielle's come from Gisborough, a goal scorer. Brotherly love with Dale Mulligan joining, Nathan, his brother, and the two Rams bottoms, Andrew and Aaron from Northallerton. Not the signings that maybe some of your supporters would have expected.
Well, we looked at what we had last season, and to be fair to Jamie, we played a 4-2-3-1 system last year, and there was Jamie who was playing up front, and then we had to bring Luke in halfway through the season, by the way, from Gisborough, and we had Adam Preston who was playing out wide right, the three, so we had a good look at what shape we sort of wanted to play this year, and we decided, you know, we needed a bit more going forward, so we looked at the scenario with Danny. Everyone knows about Danny, who's in the league, he's been up in the top goal scoring charts for 3-4 seasons now. His work rate is unbelievable. He's not a selfish player, he's a team player, he works in well with everyone around him. Like you said, a very good addition to the squad, and a lot of teams would have took Danny if they'd have had the chance. I'm very fortunate, I've known him anyway personally away from football, so that gives us a better chance. Andy and Aaron, two unbelievable sides. I do not know how them two have been playing second division for so long, you know, just comfortable because they lived at North Allerton and helping out, but this is the chance for them to shine. And to be fair to Andy, he has shunned straight away in pre-season, and in, of course, the first two games against Shilton, he was brilliant, and then getting the goal against South Shields. Aaron's going to be a fantastic player of the squad. You can see his work ethic and everything about him, and he's a good finisher. Like you said, we brought Dale Mulligan in. It was something that we lacked last season, no disrespect to the people that we had, but with injuries, we were a bit inconsistent at the back with a partnership for Adam Wheatley. It was been fantastic, and the two of them are fitting really, really well together. You know, we bought another lad that left back when we lost Liam O'Sullivan to Synthonia. Matty Bell's come in from West Auckland. Very, very tidy player. Fits into the lads. Local lad. Done really well. And we've also brought a young keeper, Lewis MacDonald. 16, he's down at Markham, you know, learning his trade down there as well. So it's been a good summer for us so far.
Weekend, Newton Aycliffe, the top of you in the FA Vars, and you know what they're about.
Yeah, very strong, very physical team. Last year, I don't think we beat them last year in the three games. We had them in the Vars, beat us in the Vars. You know, we played them twice in the league. I think they beat us twice in the league, if I'm not sure. We know what we get with them. They're a very physical, well-drilled team. You know, I mean, a lot of people do just say all he is a physicality side of things that they've got. They haven't. They've got some really, really good football players. Peter knows how the style of play he wants, and he gets results from it. You can see they finished, I think, in the top 10 last year. But we'll set our stall out, and of course, it's a game that we want to win.
Beginning of the season, as you say, it's a good test for you on the back of the two cup games you've had.
Yeah, there's no easy games. There's no easy games in this league, no matter who you're playing. Everyone looks at the fixture list and says, oh, we've got first, we've got set. It doesn't matter. There's some really, really good teams in it this season, you know, and it's going to be a very, very, very difficult year because, you know, all the top teams from last season have all went out and, you know, spent big and brought good players in from leagues higher, like you said, South Shields. You know, it's going to be a tough league.
Carl Jarrett, the Mask United manager, talking to Trevor Hawkins, will be at Mask against Newton Aycliffe tomorrow on BBC T-Sport Digital Radio. And all the non-league results for you, I'll round them up between 5 and 6 when your calls, your texts, your emails on your team, be it Borough, Pools or the Quakers returns. BBC T-Sport is live from the Riverside tomorrow. More details in a sec. Let me just tell you about Stumps at the Oval, Pakistan 3-40-4-6. That is in reply to England's first innings 328. So the tourists have a lead of 12 going into day 3. Intriguingly poised. The fourth and final test to England, of course, 2-1 up, remember. Yes, BBC T-Sport live at the Riverside after Goffey tomorrow from 2. We'll build up to the first game in the Premier League for the Borough playing Stoke City. Commentary of that one with Mark, Neil and Rob on 95FM and Freeview Channel 722. We'll have Pools at Exeter with Ivan Ash and Nick Laughlin in League 2.